This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I mean, we could play this all afternoon. Holy mackerel. You saw, Crowder, last night, a tale of two wildly different sports emotions.
Yes.
One of them, a team that would not quit, and a team that stuck around and found a way to, if you look at the final score, hammer their opponent. And the other team, I'm kind of like TNT. I don't want to say that the Heat quit, but they didn't show up last night.
Okay, I'll say they quit.
You can.
They quit. They tapped out. Nobody wanted to play. Bam with the towel on his head for the second half. The Heat tapped out of that series, and the Panthers got down as a Stanley Cup champion, came back, and won the game to go up 3-1. The Heat tapped out of that game. Hawk. The worst loss and point deficit in NBA history during a
because
series?
The talent disparity. Listen, Cleveland's a better team.
Oh,
but the talent disparity is not that.
They quit. They quit.
So
don't
do we
play
have to,
that culture, Solana.
Do
play that
to,
culture.
Do
clip
we have
anymore.
To reassess that? Do we have to reassess Heat culture and Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley because? Is this a franchise-changing series? Because they didn't just get swept. They got embarrassed. Last night, Ernie Johnson said it's the worst basketball game he's ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Johnson's the nicest guy on the planet. When you get Ernie Johnson saying this is the worst basketball game I've ever watched, when you get Stephen A. Smith this morning on First Take saying, now, by the way, I don't agree with this, but Stephen A. Smith was saying, Pat Riley, gotta kind of move on, maybe. He said he can't draw players there the way he once could. And I would take issue with that because Dame Lillard wanted to be here. Like, that wasn't, you know what I mean? That wasn't Dame Lillard's fault. So the last big whale they went after. Now, you could play it out on reverse and say Jimmy Butler wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy Butler last night, by the way, if you stayed up to watch the late game.
And I won some money off Jimmy.
Did you? Yeah. I said Warriors, man. I like him regardless. Jimmy balled out and then after the game did the post-game interview, said that he found his joy, said he would die for his teammates. I mean, it was everything that Jimmy was at the beginning and we thought he would be still. He's that way for another team. Now, and I would say Stephen A. Smith is probably extrapolating that out. Instead of saying, hey, Dame Lillard wanted to come here, he's more in the recency bias of Jimmy Butler wanted to be anywhere but there, and look at what Jimmy Butler did last night.
It's where, so what was it? 30 points, 9 points, 21 points, and then last night. When you lose by that much, Hawk, do you have to go further than players and coaches?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Where now, where Stephen A. said that, and I'm with you. I heard it this morning. He was like, Pat Riley has his – the lore is gone. But is the lore gone, or Are we that much worse than the Cleveland Cavaliers roster?
Well, that has to be part of it. But, man, I look at the rosters, and again, I'm not telling you that Cleveland's not better, and I'm not telling you the Heat didn't have to deal with a team that lost their superstar. Like, that's a huge knock during a season. But, you know, Bam was an all-star. Tyler
Bam
was an all-star.
Bam didn't do a damn thing last night.
And neither did Tyler. I mean, I could have shot better than Tyler. You said they have to score 60 combined. Combined, they didn't even hit Bam's over. I'm not kidding you. I think Bam's over was what, 19 and a half? What'd they have combined, Solana?
Not 19 and a half.
I mean, it was shocking.
For a team to say we're not going to let Tyler or Bam beat us, y'all do it.
I mean, Andrew Wiggins, does he exist?
And not have anything else. But I don't know if that's saying Pat doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know if Jimmy messed up what we had going. Like, to go from the disparity in rosters, because we knew Cleveland was better. They're better. They were the number one seed in the East. To say that now Pat does not know how to build a team with Jimmy doing what he did, that's what we have to figure out.
So that's why I say, is that a franchise-changing series? Because we have, for so long, done, well, Tyler can. Well, Bam can. By the way, Solana, you picked the worst day to step on the mountaintop for Bam Adebayo yesterday. You defended him as if you were a parent defending their child. And he went out and wet the bed. And you had just proclaimed for 4 hours that your child would never wet the bed.
Are you talking about the Heat's second leading scorer from last night, Bam Adebayo? Second leading scorer in that game, gentlemen.
Who was the leading scorer?
Nikola Jovic.
Come
on.
Let's go.
Name Nico president.
Solana, what happened in your mind? Because we give you a hard time about this roster and this team.
They, in my mind, did not think they could beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in a game. And it showed on the very first possession. And it's sad that that's the way that they went out.
I mean, they've never gone out like that.
Never.
They tapped out.
Never.
We were texting, and I kept saying, like, this team is done with playing basketball.
The Heat culture, the Heat DNA, is always the team that overperforms when you've left them for dead. Mm-hmm. They lost 10 in a row. Any other team in the NBA, 10-game losing streak at the end of the season, they're ejecting. They're not the Heat because they've got culture and they've got Spo and they've got Riley and they've got Zoe. And, you witnessed something last night you don't see from this organization.
I've been down here since 05. I've never seen that out of the Heat, what I saw last night.
Which is why I don't think it's a franchise-changing loss. I think my takeaway from last night was...
I am on the squeakiest chair. Can you guys hear it?
I can hear it, but I'm sitting next to you. Why you move so much?
Got a lot of energy. I got to move chairs. Yeah, go ahead. Make your point.
I wanted you to play three last night. I wanted you to be at the four if you got that much energy.
Tell you what, man. I didn't move without the ball at least.
Why are you moving your hips so much, though? I don't understand.
I got a lot of energy.
He's very hippie.
Yeah. I got a lot of energy.
Shakira, settle down over there, bro.
Hips don't lie, man.
To me, it was a roster-changing night.
Definitely roster-changing.
I know what people want to do with Riley, and I get it. The two back-to-back first-round embarrassing losses. The Heat have lost 8 straight home playoff games. I mean, are you effing kidding me? But last night, to me, was get this roster out of my life, man. And I don't know how anybody could feel differently.
But we can't do the thing again, right? Of, well, Tyler is untouchable. Bam is untouchable. No one can be untouchable anymore, right?
No.
No.
Okay. I'm not saying that I don't still love Bam and Tyler because I think they're really good. But for this particular series, for last night in particular, like, who wants to end a season that way on national TV? Like, who wants to go out that way? And they're not that bad. So something like
That roster is bad.
It's not bad. That bad.
But not that bad. Not
as
that bad.
We watch these games, Miles
Was Andrew
Turner,
Wiggins ever an all-star?
Miles Turner's Once. Putting up 25.
Yeah.
Like, I bet against him when he scored 9. This is gambling. Like, I was like, 23 or whatever, 22. I'm like, Miles Turner's Miles Turner. He's scoring 23. I'm watching these playoffs and these guys that are balling, these young guys that are balling, they're not doing it. And for Bam to shoot, what was it? One. He made one attempt in the first quarter.
In the first quarter, he didn't have his first shot till 3.5 minutes to go.
What are we doing with this roster? To your question, no one on this roster should be untouchable. I enjoy playing with Bam. I enjoy talking about Bam. Tyler, he's not a young goat because young goats grow up to be old goats. He's just a player now.
I mean, we know who Tyler is at this point, right? But, and we know who Bam is at this point. The notion that they're going to be something different, I think, would be foolish on our part.
Well,
We're calling them twos and threes. They're threes and fours.
Yeah, probably. Well, here's the thing, though. We thought we knew what Tyler was a season ago, and all of a sudden he becomes an all-star. So I think he got better, and we've put Bam in a box as well. He's shown you he can get better. But what I did learn from last night, if there was any idea, we were talking about Jimmy leaving, Bam and Tyler becoming the pillars of this organization. You just saw what that gives you.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
And even if this year, because of all the turmoil and because you were implementing a new role for Bam alongside a rookie center and Andrew Wiggins was out, like, I could do the whole thing where I go step by step why this team lost the way that they did. Even then, if everything goes perfect with Bam and Tyler as your one and your two, you're an 8 seed. That's just what you are. You are an 8 seed.
Why don't you never know how to use the camera?
I'm not even doing anything. Things just moving on its own. This is why I don't come into the studio, because there's ghosts.
Why is your camera never on you?
I want to see Jimmy. Hold on a second. See if I can direct this thing towards Jimmy. Jimmy, do something. No, I can't see Jimmy.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But Solana, to the heat conversation, you're the biggest heater. This is not what you would like, and we need to extremely big moves for next season.
Last night, that team went into that game not feeling like they could win a must-win game. And I think it was evident from the very first possession, they were down 35-8.
But here's the thing. Like, I can write off Andrew Wiggins not believing because he's not a Heat lifer and he just got here, and so the Spo and the Riley. Remember, there was that Ira Winderman picture of the brain trust at practice. Like, okay, Wiggins doesn't buy into it. Kal-El Ware's young. Mm-hmm. You know, like, but Bam and Tyler, they've been here their entire careers. The Heat never go into a game or a series going, we can't beat this team. And you remember last year, it was don't let us get one. Like that, you know what I mean? So how did it go from that to, hey, they came out there going, yeah, we don't have a chance. Like, how did Bam and Tyler, those are the only two I'm questioning, how did Bam and Tyler lose that from one season to the next?
I don't know, and I don't know if you can pin it on Bam. He's the captain. He probably deserves the bulk of the blame, but I don't know if you could pin it on Bam. I don't know if you can pin it on Bam or Tyler only either. Hawk, how did they go from game two competing, making it a two-point game? Like, that would have been fine yesterday. The Cleveland Cavaliers won 27 more games 100%. Than the Heat. They figured out how to totally neutralize Tyler Hero, and the Heat had no answers. Like, they figured it out. And by the way, if you do run this back next year, guess what? Every team just got a blueprint on how to stop the Miami Heat. Keep Tyler Hero from catching the ball at the three-point line, and you literally have nobody else to go score the basketball. Like, they found the Heat's biggest flaw.
Maybe put Duncan in before you're down 60.
Duncan,
how about
my backside.
How about
I
that?
Mean, but if you're down
Duncan,
if you're down 50 points, maybe put in a guy who once set a record for 3-point shooting.
I want to see Pelle Larsson.
Why is he riding the bench in that situation?
He's terrible.
That he might be. They're down 50. Put terrible guys in.
Actually, how big of a slap in the face to Duncan Robinson to put him in down 50.
It was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. Like, that was insulting on top of insulting.
I couldn't believe it. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. Because I get it. You can't play Duncan and Tyler together against this team. Defensively, it doesn't work. But you've tried everything else. That's not working. Well, Why not go back to this?
That's my point. But I've said that before in other games when you're getting blown out. And you're like, oh, how could Duncan Robinson bring you back? I go, you're already down 50. Like, you're going to stick to your guns?
But listen, Tyler was what? I just looked it up. 4-1-1.
Duty.
Four.
Oh, the numbers, yeah.
He made the Heat's first shot of the game, and then he didn't score again.
4-1-1. Teams know that Tyler's your one. Then they say, hey, we're not going to let Tyler score. And it was obvious that Cleveland, they were face guarding him 90 feet, whatever it is. They do that to a lot of great players. Tyler, when he became the one, he did 4-1-1 when Cleveland said, you're not going to beat us. That's a problem. And that's what we need to address, and that's why we need somebody that can do it. They look at Steph like that. They look at a bunch of players like that.
Real superstars, they find a way.
We need more talent on this roster, and I don't know. I don't want to give Bam an excuse, and Hayward Highsmith. I don't know if I've given him an excuse, but just these guys, like your star, your one had 4-1-1 through an entire game. That's crazy.
By the way. It kind of tells you that Jimmy Butler was right all along. Jimmy Butler said in fewer words, take your motivational speech crap and throw it in the toilet and get me better players than Tyler and Bam. That's all he was saying to you. He was saying to you, okay, Riley, you keep doing the show up, give us more. And Jimmy Butler was pretty adamant, maybe not in those words to us, maybe he was behind closed doors. No, none of that. It's all bunk. Tyler and Bam aren't those dudes.
Yeah.
And he was right. He was right because you saw him last night with Steph Curry. And again, you can't go out and get Steph Curry. So that part is unfair. You can't say, hey, Riley, he told you he needed a Steph Curry. Steph Curry comes around once in a lifetime. So I'm not saying that. But Jimmy Butler had played with those guys long enough to know that we're not waiting on something. I know what I have with these guys. We have to have more. And then when they said, you know, there's not going to be more, but you need to give us everything you got. He was like, yeah, okay, in the corner. I'll give you everything I got right here in the corner because I'm not doing this anymore. I'm spinning my wheels.
And Jimmy saw it. Jimmy's been in the league 10 years. Chicago,
he knew it.
Minnesota.
He
figured out this league.
He was right. Like, and he was right. Like he played with them for a number of years, probably enjoyed it, and they had some good runs, but he knew that was it. They had plateaued. They weren't getting any further.
And, Hawk, you said it, where we have the meme of Jimmy when he's leaning in the bubble when he's putting everything out he can, and he still can't beat the Lakers that year. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I need more help, and this help is not enough help.
And that's, I think, what happened during this season where he was like, oh, the motivational speeches, the books that you're giving us to read, like, I can't be any clearer on this. I need more help.
Or $120 million contract extension, which I think would
have
shut
made
him
it
up.
More, yeah, that would have made it more palatable for him.
Yeah.
But that would have been financially accepted. But
yeah.
He knew.
No,
he would have been selling his soul, which is
fine. Do you believe Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler could go through the East again?
If Jimmy Butler. I'm not saying that they're better than the Cleveland Cavaliers, but if Jimmy Butler this season, and I get what you're saying, and I agree with you, Hawk, by the way, Jimmy Butler just proved himself right, as much as it pains me to say it. And his masterclass trolling last night with joy as the Heat had the most embarrassing loss. Like, it, you know, kudos to Jimmy Butler. But Crowder, if Jimmy Butler this season, where Tyler Hero played 76 games, I think he played at an all-star level, Jimmy Butler was engaged and gave you 65 games this season playing Jimmy Butler-style basketball. Not, I'm standing in the corner. The Heat aren't the 10 seed.
I agree.
They're the 4 seed.
But,
they're the 5
but what
seed.
I think, but what
they're
I think
not
Jimmy,
beating the Cavs.
Right, but what I think Jimmy's okay, telling you is, okay, we're the 4 seed,
right.
We're the 5 seed.
Right.
And when we face Cleveland in the playoffs, I know how we're going
yes.
out.
Yes, I'm not telling you that
no,
they beat. I'm not telling you that they wouldn't need more talent. For sure they do. Like, we know that. They wanted Damian Lillard for a reason. But to sit here and say that they go out the way that they went out, how they just went out last night, where Andrew Wiggins had 0 points
in the
first half.
I mean, he was invisible.
What do you do with that?
I don't know. That's why it was so confounding, because it's just so unlike the Heat. Will Manso is going to join us. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. So let's do a real quick look at the headlines. Solana, brought to you by Durrell Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Durrell Volkswagen.
Go Cats, man. Vamos Gatos.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So what the hell? Hawk, I haven't seen highlights. I was at the game yesterday. We're doing the post-game show. It's you can imagine how miserable it is.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, Tommy Tighe taps me 2-2. And then 11 seconds later, he taps me 3-2. And then
it
he taps
so
me again.
Incredible.
It's 4-2. What the hell happened
it
last night?
It was so incredible. I'll tell you what happened. I have ridden live bet the Panthers when they're down all season long.
Yep.
And on my thread, two of my friends bet the Panthers plus 550 down 2-1 with 5 minutes to go in the third period. And I didn't jump on because I'm a weakling. And they came back and scored 3 goals. And I'm a weakling. I played, and I'm on the damn Matt Mervis bet again last night. They're pinch hitting for him in the 7th because a lefty reliever's in. That's what happened last night.
Yes. And Ekblad, what's the man, Hagel?
Oh, Hagel. He took
Ekblad
him out, man. He
nasty.
Took him out.
He put a little sandwich meat on Hagel's chin.
By the way,
I love it.
Today, we have a corporate requirement that we need to be here. We're both in the studio. We're doing something from 3 o'clock, like 3 till 4 o'clock. Josh Appel is going to sit in for us from 3 till 4 o'clock, and he's going to talk plenty of Panthers. If you're a Panthers fan, I know he's bringing on either George Richards or George Richards.
Yeah, GR.
George Richards
yeah.
coming on. Nobody's ever called him GR. So they'll talk some Panthers. We're going to talk Heat this hour. We'll talk Panthers later on. We'll be back at 4, mm-hmm. but Appel will give you a lot of Panthers talk from 3 till 4 with GR.
Yeah. Can't wait to go back on the pod, listen to GR.
He's
trying
to be so cool. Huh?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, he's got GR.
GR. That's what it is. Skibbity-bibbity.
By the way, any of you guys throw me, I don't know, maybe a 10 to go buy lunch, because I did bet the Heat plus 29.5 yesterday.
That was the funniest damn thing. I keep texting these guys what the live line is. Live line's 18.5, 25.5, 29.5. Solana puts it in 29.5. The next live line, I swear to God, the next time I look, Heat plus 47.5.
Hawk. I put the bet in, plus 29.5. The Heat were down 31. The Cavs went on a 9-0 run.
I bet pregame minus 9-9.
Right.
Then I saw the line
change. Oh, you were going to middle it.
So I cashed out at 178, and I'm like, oh, let me get this 8.5. So I have Cavs minus 8.5 at Heat plus 25.5. I'm like, oh.
Catch a middle.
I'm going to catch a middle, and I'm going to hit them both times.
I mean, it was unbelievable. You've never seen a line like that.
20 NBA playoffs, Hawk. I'm going to get a line at 25?
47.5, and I'm like, I don't think that's enough. Not jumping in.
They tapped out, Solana. They tapped out.
No, I've never seen that before from a Heat. That's why I'm telling you, like, I'm not here to defend anybody. Nobody.
No, you can't today. You can't.
No. But even how they were playing, I'm watching the game. Like, there was no reason for me to watch the game with my son and daughter. What was going on and how they were playing. Like, it was embarrassing.
I was talking with Ira Winderman this morning. I was telling Ira that I watched more Heat than Panthers last night because it was like a car wreck. I couldn't turn it off. I literally couldn't turn it off because I didn't believe what was happening. I could not believe what was happening.
When Khalil Ware, I don't know what quarter it was, Khalil Ware pulled up for 2 threes in a row.
You're like,
and how can I tell my daughter? Right. Yeah,
this is good basketball.
The 7-footers pulling up back to back threes. This is not how it's supposed to be.
You want to know the worst part for the Solana family? I know we're up against a hockey.
You bet against again at 36 and a half.
My nephew turned 4 today. I bought him a Bam Adebayo jersey yesterday. He went to the game. I have a video of him putting on the Bam jersey before the game, yelling white hot.
He really embraced Bam and everything he was yesterday. Is it possible that it's on you? This whole season started with you rubbing your knee on that court. If you wanna go back in time.
Exactly what
this
happened.
This entire season started with you rubbing your knee on that
Why
court.
Would you put that little
You have
bad...
the worst knees. You rubbed it on that Kaseya Center court.
Surgically repaired knees on an NBA court?
I mean, the moment that it became FTX Arena, he opened a huge FTX account. You saw what happened there.
Yeah, they were down 35-8, guys. 35-8,
yeah,
man.
Brutal.
43-17 at the end of the first quarter. 72-33 at halftime. 55-point losses, the worst in franchise playoff history.
In a half.
Amazing. It was amazing. You couldn't. I was taking pictures of the television screen and sending that. My wife's on a work trip in Seattle, and she was out at some dinner. I'm sending it to her. I'm sending it to DJ, was out. Like, just looking at the numbers was so shocking that I had to share it with someone.
Watching this with a 13 and 12-year-old
who are basketball serious.
Both play serious AAU basketball. Daddy, what's going on? I have no answers. Why did he take that shot? Don't do that this weekend. I'm trying to correct my kid from watching this game.
All right, anything else, Solana? Because I do want to have time for Will.
The Marlins tied up the game in LA yesterday with a Dan Myers grand salami for Dodger dogs to celebrate, but then they lost in extras.
Yeah, gave it a little fun extra inning, one extra inning of baseball last night.
Vamos Gatos! They'll try to close it out up in Tampa at Emily Arena tomorrow. Right? Yeah. Yep. Game 5 is tomorrow. The Miami Heat will have exit interviews tomorrow from the Kaseya Center.
<See ya. laughs> It should just be Pat Riley waving at the window. Bye. See you guys. They're doing a drive-through style this year.
Nice to know you. Nice to know you. Nice to know you. Nice to know you. Who else? Is there anybody that we need to make sure we have comfortable?
I mean, good Lord.
I'm going to talk to Nico Jovic. That's all I care about. Pacers, Bucks, Game 5. Pacers can close it out. They'll play the Cavs if they win today. Knicks, Pistons, Game 5. We didn't even talk about the robbery that the Detroit Pistons suffered at home in Game 4, but New York leads the series 3-1. Celtics up 3-1 on the Magic today at 8:30. Nuggets, Clippers, the series that I think we all are very in tune with. That's at 10 p.m. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. Partly cloudy. That is your weather.
All right. Will Manso is going to join us next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
Had a fierce argument.
Y'all are crazy.
In the green room just now about whether 100 people could, in fact, beat up a gorilla, which is going viral. Everyone's talking about this. And Leroy Horde and I are arguing
soft.
That you can't. It's not soft.
You're soft.
You're not going to tire out a gorilla. A gorilla will fight
it's
you
not tired
until.
Out.
You keep saying he's going to get petered out at
no!
some point.
It's 100 people. Rush him.
You
10
can't.
People on the right leg. What? 10 people on the left leg.
You keep saying 10 people
on
the
left
leg. How do 10 people fight one left leg?
Dive on him and grab his hair.
Makes no sense. It makes no sense.
It does
make sense. At most, you're five guys on the gorilla at once, and the gorilla's not getting tired.
Just pile on top of him. The weight will get him.
How do we all get on top of him?
You're not on my list.
How do we all get on top of him? We have trampolines now?
We're not.
How do we get on? How do I get on the? How does the 50th guy get on top of the 49th guy?
15 guys on the right arm, 15 guys on the left arm.
You keep putting more guys on the same short
arm.
I'm
saying 15 guys on
anyway,
the left leg, 15 guys on the right leg. That's 60, right?
You want to see video of this
40
argument.
Other people can pile on his head and neck.
I will post it on Radio Mark Hockman on Instagram.
Y'all are bitches.
Yeah, you would get your ass kicked if you were guy number 1 50 no, or 100.
The first dude is about to get messed up.
Will Manso is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's the sports director at Local 10. You see him on the Heat broadcast on FanDuel Sports Network Sun. So, unfortunately, he was at the Kaseya Center last night for that debacle, and he's joining us now. Hello, Will.
I would rather fight a gorilla one-on-one than have to watch that game again.
Tempers are hot here, but it's funny because the Panthers, it was so exciting and so good and such the antithesis of what we saw at the Kaseya Center, but something about that Heat game last night just has everyone on edge. You have been watching them, Will, for the longest time, and you've been around the organization for years. You've never seen anything like this before, right? Where the team seemingly tapped out before it began.
Yeah, it was, you know, the word quit, you don't use the word quit because you would think as professional athletes, and certainly this core, that they're not quitting. But I thought what Nico Jovic said after the game was pretty telling. And he said, you know, when we lost that game too, it kind of took our competitive kind of will and spirit out because we thought we were so close. And then once game three started to get away from us, I just think mentally we weren't ready for it. You know, and whether that you want to call that quitting, I don't think that's quitting, but I think it is kind of seeing where this is going and maybe not being able to put your best effort forward. And I'm not even sure the Heat's best effort forward was going to get a win against this Cleveland team. You got to give credit to the Cavs. But, I mean, there's one thing, guys, to give credit to a better team. There's another thing to lose by 55 points.
And Will, like you're saying, it was 21, and then game two was a 9-point loss, which is funny, where a 9-point loss is what it is, and then 37 and 55. Like, does it mean more as you see those deficits and one 122-point deficit in the series, which on ESPN they were talking about today, where like that's one of the biggest deficits in NBA history. Does it really make the Heat reset?
Yeah, I think you have to kind of look at it because the things that they preached down the stretch were relevant. Like, hey, we don't quit. Our culture is about moving forward. You got to be proud of the guys for finding a way to win two road games, being the first 10 seed to earn an 8 seed and make the playoffs. I get all that. All that is true. But then you get to that position where you have to, you know, play one of the best teams in the league and you get embarrassed. And that's another thing. I heard the word embarrassed way too many times in the last, you know, 72 hours since game three. Bam used it after game three. Spo, who I remember one time years ago, I used the word embarrassing in a question to Spo, and he stopped me. And he's like, no, I'm not embarrassed. And for him to use the word embarrassed last night tells you how bad it was. So, yeah, I think it kind of dampers any good that came out of that late push and, you know, making the playoffs, gets it eliminated right away when you lose like that.
Yeah, if I have to hear about that plane ride one more time, Will, I'm going to pull my hair out. I mean, we got it. It was meaningful. No, but seriously, Will, yesterday, you know, I know the conversation immediately shifts to the front office. I get it. And there's clearly some blame that deserves to go up there. And to Coach Spo was not perfect this year. I get it. There's some blame that has to go there. But how much blame do Tyler and Bam deserve as the two best players? And how does this change the future with them, not in terms of are they, you know, no longer tradable. My point is they're the two best players on this team. They're the all-stars. They're the guys who were chosen to be the next pillars of the organization, and they just suffered the two worst losses in franchise playoff history in back-to-back consecutive nights to get swept only for the third time ever in franchise history. That has to mean something.
It does, and I think it goes beyond just these two games. Look, when you see past these two games, which were horrendous, obviously, and record-setting for all the wrong reasons, you have to still see a team that this year was sabotaged by the Butler situation. And the Jimmy situation, whoever you want to blame in it, we've talked about it plenty on this show. That's not the point who you blame. It was ugly from the start. It was never going to end well this season. But Bam and Tyler, to your point, as the leaders, had to take on that responsibility as leaders and on the court. For the most part, they played well. But in the key games against quality opponents and trying to close games, all those blown leads in the fourth quarter, they didn't find a way. You have to turn to your leaders. You can't just be leaders and all-stars in the good. You have to be in the bad, too, and you have to be able to take that criticism. And I think it's fair. I think when they handed it over to them post-Jimmy, it didn't go well. It just didn't. And they fought hard in the end. Again, you go to that. But when you end like this, it does make you question a bit, okay, how do they fit as the core? Who needs to get added or who needs to get subtracted to this core to make it work moving forward?
And Will, with and today on ESPN, you know, when a series ends, everybody talks about it. And they were talking about this might be Pat Riley's last ride.
No.
Do you think Pat can continue the next build, the Giannis out of Milwaukee thing? Like, you know, we hear all the rumors. Do you think this is Pat's last build coming up, or you think this is Pat's ending? This is his swan song.
No, I think, look, I mean, Pat's 80 years old. So, I mean, how God bless him, man. He's an icon. He is Miami Heat basketball, and there is no Miami Heat basketball without Pat Riley. So you have to give him his flowers and say what he's done for this organization. You also have to give him the respect to understand that Pat's going to go on his own terms, as he should. Mickey Arison, no one in that organization, Nick Arison, I can confidently say, is telling Pat Riley, there's the door, you need to get out. Pat is going to get out when he wants to get out. My feeling has always been that Pat wants to see this through post-Jimmy for at least a couple more years. And who knows, depending on how he's feeling, and he's feeling great. Thank God for his health. But I think when you look at this organization, people sometimes put too much on Pat, don't understand. This is collaborative. I mean, Pat and through the Arison family, they built this base with the names I just mentioned, and Andy Ellisberg and Adam Simon, and obviously Spo, Alonzo Mourning's part of that brain trust. They have a room where people sit led by Pat that makes decisions. And they're going to get in that room that they already have, you know, since yesterday, and they're going to continue to figure out what's next. And Pat's going to be a big part of that. And how people don't understand that or want it to be different, I can't fathom, because, again, Pat has earned that ability and that respect to try to fix what is going on right now.
But, and we had this conversation, Jimmy Butler seems to be correct, right, after you watched last night. Because what I was saying to Solana and Crowder was Jimmy Butler essentially said, hey, take your motivational pep talk at the end of the season and take the books that have meaning that you give out. Throw it all in the garbage. Get me players better than Bam and Tyler. And or give me my money. One of the two. Like, throw your books and your motivational speeches away. Give me my money or better players. And Pat Riley didn't do either. And Jimmy kind of showed you last night that, hey, I think I was right here.
I mean, look, Jimmy has showed us for 5 years that he was right. Jimmy showed that he's a playoff. There's a reason they call him Playoff Jimmy, right? I mean, there's a reason he has that title, and we saw what he's done here. We didn't need to see it in Golden State. What he did last night was nothing different than what we saw for five seasons. Two finals, three Eastern Conference finals. I mean, we saw that Jimmy. The issue with Jimmy goes beyond that, though. And again, I hate bringing it up, but it is part of this story. I mean, Jimmy and Pat, it ran its course. The contract stuff was certainly an issue, but let's not forget that before the contract stuff, they didn't want to offer him a contract extension for a reason. That ship had sort of sailed, and maybe one day we'll be able to pull back and get the real reasons. You know, Jimmy always said, oh, I'm going to tell the real story one day. Maybe Pat's going to be in time, and we can find out more of what the real reason was. But there was a disconnect that went beyond just basketball with Jimmy. The way he did things, the way his attitude, his perspective, obviously his availability, those are things that I think ran sour with Pat and the organization, and they moved on. Was it the right choice? Of course, when Jimmy's having success in Golden State, it looks bad. But we saw that success. We know what Jimmy can do. They were just ready to move on.
Well, what do I tell my daughter and son that watched the game last night? Because I couldn't tell them the Heat gave up, but it seems as if the Heat gave up. Like, What's your explanation? Give me your father. I'm a father. What do I tell my kids about last night?
I think, you know, the only thing you can tell from a parental standpoint, which I guess works kind of as a coach too, is that even when things are going south and going bad, you've got to push forward and keep a frame of mind that you're going to do your best. And Davion talked about, someone asked him, like, hey, was anything said at halftime when you go in and you're down 40 points? And Davion's like, look, we knew we weren't going to win. It's not like we said, oh, we're going to make a comeback, chip away. We're going to be silly like that. But we said we have to play with some pride. And I think that's the message, right? Like, when you're getting your ass kicked and when you're playing poorly and you're not playing well and everything's going wrong, you still have to try. And there were times in that game where it feels like the Heat just conceded, you know? And again, you want to use the quit word, go ahead. I don't think they actively quit. I just think it was that feeling of defeat and that helpless feeling, my God, we are getting murdered here. There's nothing we could do. That the body language, the hustle, everything looked bad basically from about the middle of the first quarter on.
Thankfully, though, the Panthers did not prescribe to that feeling. And Crowder, if you want to teach your kids a lesson, if yes. you want to show them the yin and the yang, Show them the Panthers game from last night. Will, we've got to put the Heat to bed and now turn all our attention to the Panthers, and they did something special last night.
They did. Crowder, you want to teach your kid what it's like to, you know, to play with competitive spirit, just show that you're an Ekblad hit. That's what it's all about. Be dirty.
Yeah. Raise a couple of Ekblads, not a Hagel.
Ava got it in her now. We need some Ekblad. Ava Ekblad.
Yeah. Do you feel like I had this feeling last night after watching them come back that, you know what, maybe this is a team of destiny again. They really, you could have understood them tapping out and it going to Tampa to a three-game series, and they miraculously just put up three goals at the end, and you just got to feel great about this Panthers team, no?
Yeah, you do, and I think that goes to what Paul Maurice has said all along. Like, if there's one thing I give Paul Maurice credit for, there's a lot of things, but I think the main thing is I've never sensed any kind of panic in him all year long, through the ups, the downs, the injury suspensions, whatever there may be. He always stayed like, hey, we know what we're doing. We're focused. You go in that locker room and you see those guys, they understand what we're trying to do. And then you get to this point, you will say, wow, they really do. Like, down 2-1, like, I don't think any Panthers fan, any South Florida fan watching that game last night, I thought it's over. Like, I thought you were nervous. Like, oh, my God, could it end? I mean, man, are they going to come back? But I don't think anybody was screaming and yelling thinking they're terrible. Like, you knew they had that in them. They showed it for three straight years now. So, yeah, this is a magical team, but it goes beyond the magic. They're also really damn good. I mean, they're stacked, and the way they play together in unison, it's a really likable team in the sense there's so many different personalities, yet they all mesh so well. And we've seen it back-to-back Stanley Cup, you know, appearances and obviously the title last year, and there's no reason to think that this team isn't going to be in that place again come a month and a half from now.
You know what's funny, though? We talk about having, you know, that magic, and we've always defaulted to the Heat to have that magic. That magic is much easier to come by when you're loaded with talent.
Isn't that funny how that works?
That magic really seems to rear its head when
Is the magician.
Yeah,
the magician.
You know what? You're not lying, man. That dude has put together a roster for the ages. Didn't you bring up the other day, one of you guys talking about, will this Panthers roster at some point be compared to the Heat's big three roster?
Yes.
Because if they've gone to two finals in a row, if they go again this year, that would be three. And if they win two, you have to put them in the conversation, right? With greatest South Florida sports roster assembled of all time.
I mean, what he went out and did and grabbed a roster and said, let me move on from a veteran, likable guy and go get Matthew Tkachuk. And then, you know, other pieces, every piece that he touches turns into gold. Like every guy, every A.J. Greer and all these guys that he gets, all these guys that he come, you look at them and they become quality players. You look at the years that they have and the Boquist and all these guys. I mean, he just knows what he's doing. And then he goes out and he gets a Brad Marchand. Like to get like the hated guy, it's very Heat-like, right? Like the Ray Allen type, you know, like the guy at the end of his career that you hated and now you love. It's amazing what they've done. And he deserves a lot of the credit. Again, him and Paul Maurice, those guys are, I don't know if there's a better 1-2 combination of Coach GM right now in sports. You know, when you look at what they built and the style that they have, it's incredible.
Yeah, we're in Stolarz, Knight. They're starting for other NHL teams. Like, it's Bill's – Zito knows what the hell he's doing, and we all know it as he brings in those guys. So, yes, yeah, give him his credit.
He's
give
the
him
magician.
His
he's
he
the
is
magician.
The magician doing what
Will,
he does.
Will, who would win in a fight? One gorilla, one silverback gorilla, or 100 strong, physically capable men?
Let me tell you something. That fight would look like last night's game for the gorilla. That's what it would look like.
I don't see how.
That gorilla would know. That gorilla, meaning from a Cleveland perspective, that gorilla's the Cavs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm with you. Yes, yeah, I'm 100% with you.
20 dudes on the left arm, 20 dudes
you
on the right arm.
You can't put 20 dudes
20
on one arm.
On the right leg, 20 guys on the left leg.
Why do you think one arm is 50 feet long?
You're not invited.
Well,
you
want,
and Will aren't invited.
I'm
putting my team together.
I mean,
you give me 100 guys, I know.
Is the gorilla sedated? Did it have
right.
No.
The gorilla's
no.
Never giving up. The gorilla is never giving up.
Give me 100 dudes from Atlanta walking up to a gorilla, and we're going to get him on the ground.
By the way, is there video?
This is going viral. This is like a big viral conversation on social media, but we had the conversation outside, me and Crowder and Solana and Tobin and Leroy.
But nobody
and
fought
Fig.
An actual gorilla, right? There's no gorilla.
No
fight.
One has fought an actual gorilla. Now, Mike Cugno is messaging me right now, and he says, Crowder is right. We'll lose some people, but we just have to be okay with that.
Got to sacrifice about 6.
Yeah, it's incorrect.
I tell you how many you're going to lose. You're going to lose 100.
100. Before you had lunch. Before you
one
had
gorilla.
Lunch.
100
one
dudes.
Gorilla.
Man, y'all are crazy.
Let's get everybody at the station to fight a lion while we're at it. Let's just go. Let's go wild.
What, 100?
I mean, you just can't. You can't tire out a gorilla. And
no, six people are gonna die.
No, but your whole theory is that at some point you're gonna tire them out. And I'm
you're
telling you,
put
the gorilla is
on
not
him.
Giving up.
And I'm not gonna give up either.
You're just punching the gorilla. What are you doing? Punching it, pulling it.
Yeah. What,
out?
No, what are you doing to the gorilla?
Choking him.
You're gonna put your finger in his butt. Because that might be the only way you can trap them.
You can't kill a gorilla.
You know what? Sign me up. I'll be.
You might get a freaky gorilla. So who knows what's gonna happen?
He might enjoy this.
I think that's the only way to surprise him. All right, Will, we gotta go.
Please, thank you.
He goes, please. Cugno, that's your job.
Cugno,
as you might recognize, I talk about a lot of stuff on this show, but I'm going to talk about something serious now, and that's your health. Don't fight a gorilla.
If you have 99 friends, you can.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no!
Hawk and Crowder.